Welcome to I Am Light. I'm Sarah Lockwood, your spiritual life coach, comedic relief friend, and host. I Am Light is a place where we talk about shining our light, having some fun, and being a spiritual being having a human experience. I'm here to bring you content on the big journey of life and how we can live as our fullest, most authentic self. We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, but mostly we'll learn and evolve together. So step into your highest expression and come on in. Today we have a very special guest, my good friend Ellie Rogers, who is a relationship mentor and basically an expert in all things conscious communication and relationships. We talk about non-duality, what that means, how to practice it, and how it shows up on the micro and macrocosm. We talk about holding space for yourself and self-love. We talk about projection. We talk about boundary setting. We talk about communication. So we really go in depth into each of these topics. So I recommend settling in, grabbing a blanket, turning up your volume, and really tuning into this episode because we're giving you some good stuff here. So without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome, Ellie, to the I Am Light podcast. So first off, I just wanted to give you a little chance to introduce yourself and talk about, you know, who you are, where you're from, what you do, what you're interested in, and all that good stuff. So if you want to take it away.
Thank you. Immediately when people ask me that question of like, where are you from? I'm like, not Earth. That's how True. I want to answer it, because I'm just like, well, I was born and raised in the Midwest, but like, if we're talking about my soul, she's not from here. I'm originally from Illinois. I currently reside in the burning desert of Arizona. Don't recommend it during the summer. But yeah, I'm multifaceted. If you know anything about human design, I'm a manifesting generator. So while in this container, I will be in the box of like Coach Ellie, like communications mentor. There are so many other hats that I fucking love wearing. Ooh, can I swear?
Yes. Please do. Actually, it's encouraged.
It's like on my podcast, like marking every episode as like explicit because I can't not.
I know. That's what, when I first started this, I was looking at how you know, the clean or explicit. And I'm like, well, it's not like I'm talking about an explicit topic, but I'm over here like fucking whatever the fuck, like it's
the
explicit.
The amount of times I'll say fuck in an episode, I'm just like, well, at this point, it's not for children.
It's certainly not.
But in the container that we're in today, I am a communications and relationships mentor, really helping people find their voice, come into their own, and whether that's like from boundaries to people pleasing, but also just understanding the nuances of communication and understanding one another on a more compassionate level, really any way we can get to more unity within our world is where I'm coming from. So like, yeah, relationships can look like, you know, me and my boyfriend are fighting all the time, great romantic relationships, but also I put communication in there because at the heart of that, I just want us to have more grounds of compassion and understanding for people that we don't want to understand or we don't like to understand because it feels frustrating or it's challenging us and our identity and our beliefs. Like, how can I sit with that and still welcome that person into my life?
I love that because I love your work so much because I feel like I know that you do things in the realm of relationships, but everything that you teach can be applied in so many different areas of life. Like even when we're talking about world issues and things like that and how to come together and solve problems and even in politics and things like that, I feel like the things that you teach and the methods that you teach and the approach that you teach when it comes to understanding others and problem solving and communication works on both a micro and macro level. So there are so many lessons to be taken from the concepts that you teach.
Thank you. I appreciate that because I never want to be like bogged down to like, oh, it only works in, you know, romantic relationships. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Like really what it comes down to is like communication, compassion and curiosity.
I know you also talk a lot about non-duality. And I remember when I first heard that word, I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And I was so confused. So, can you just tell us a little bit about what non-duality is?
Yeah, there are actually a lot of different definitions. So I won't go by like this is what non-duality actually is, but for me and how I practice non-duality is, you know, we think about what's the opposite of non-duality, duality, like things are black and white. And I find a lot of discourse, a lot of division comes from putting ourselves in a mindset of duality that, like, if it's not this, it's that. So when somebody talks about, you know, when I talk about not wanting kids, and then you've got other people coming in and being like, kids are so great. Like, what are you saying? And I'm like, well, my, you know, desire to not have children is not anti-kids, is not anti-mother, is not anti-parenting. It's my preference for my life. And so a lot of that discourse and that divide comes from the idea that because I'm saying I don't want this thing or I do want this thing, that I believe in the opposite, whatever the opposite is to you. So in non-duality, it's like everything exists on a spectrum, and that includes like our experiences, our emotions, like everything. A lot of times I'll talk about emotional processing as like the color wheel of emotions. And if we learn anything from the movie Inside Out, like multiple emotions can exist at the same time, which is so beautiful and so needed. Like I can be happy and joyous and also be like sad and frustrated. But within that non-duality, that coming back to that space and recognizing that so many things exist on the spectrum brings the nervous system back down, reminds us that like everything's going to be okay because it's probably not what I expect it to be. Like, great first example from my most recent experiences was going through this breakup with this guy recently in the last few months, and he wasn't responding to me. And I needed to get my things back. And I was so anxious. I was like, just my nervous system was shot because I was trying to so much rack my brain of like, what's going on? Like, why isn't he responding to me? Like, I checked in with his family. They said he's okay. And I was like, hey, can you just let him know I reached out and I need to hear from him so I can get my things? And this, we're going on like multiple days of me not anything, like phone calls, text messages. And I love my friends. They're very supportive, but also they were feeding me the idea of like, well, if you've checked all these boxes, like clearly he's avoiding you, he's trying to get back at you, like this is the only other option. So like here we are in this duality of situations. And in my heart of hearts, when I like removed myself from listening to what they were saying, I was like, there's something else. Like I know that there are like so many other things that could exist on this plane of like why he's acting the way he is or why this is happening. And to me, that's non-duality of recognizing that I'm like, there's probably something going on right now in his life that I haven't experienced yet. So it's not in my brain. So like, I'm going to remove myself. I'm going to be fine. And eventually he came back around and he was like, I'm so sorry. I was under so much stress that I shut down and like apologized, got me my things, and it was okay. But I was causing myself more tension and more anxiety and more pain by believing that it like had to be one or the other and that it was clearly this other because he didn't demonstrate that it was this. Than I was just by believing there are so many other ways and realms and things that could have been going on that I just accept that, you know, there's nothing else I can do to control this situation. So if I believe he's a bad person, I'm making this a worse situation for me. If I'm believing that there's something else going on that I don't understand right now and I just let it be, I make it easier for me.
I feel like the word that comes to mind with everything that you're saying about, what non-duality is multidimensional. Like acknowledging the multidimensionality of all humans, all things, all situations. Nothing is ever this or that, black or white. And what's so interesting to me is that the dualistic mindset of either this or that, black or white, to me, feels like a product of our hyper-masculine society. Like, not to get it and make it go into societal things, but like, it is a societal thing, definitely.
No, a
Like,
hundred percent. Yeah.
we lean so far into the divine masculine that we are only valuing, it's that harder energy, it's the logic, it's the mind, it's the analytics, it's much more rigid. And so I feel like as we invite more of the divine feminine in, and this paradigm shift starts to happen on both a small scale and a large scale in our world, we're seeing more of that non-dualistic mindset, the acceptance of multidimensionality, the this doesn't have to be one thing. And that's because the divine feminine brings in compassion.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you said that, like, that's so much from like the masculine conditioning, because more of the masculine energy is that control, that structure, that container. And so it feels easier to control your situation when you can say, oh, it's this or it's this. Like, I feel like I have a sense of control because I know it's one or the other. And so I can figure it out and determine that and make my next move. Well, so much of the surrender and the flow and the feminine is like, any of this could exist. And like, I'm going to still touch in with like discernment. Like, is there an action step I need to take here? Is there a knowing and an intuition and a knowing, not an anxiety thought, but like truly discerning the two of those, that I need to step into and still take action. Cause it's not always like the surrender can be in the thought process, in the like, I'm not going to write this story for myself and like rid myself of more anxiety. I'm going to say like, it can be anything. And what's the next step that I need to take for myself in order to still take care, still have structure, still have boundaries. And that it's finding that sweet spot.
Yeah, it all really comes down to having that open-mindedness and that the ability. I think it also has to do with, you know, the ego having the ability to maybe, I don't know how to put this, admit or be accepting of the fact that, like you were saying with your ex, like it must have been really easy to go to the place in your ego of, oh, he's just this, this, and this, like he's just being a shitty person. But you have to take a step back to that higher place of consciousness and say, wait a minute, it could be a number of things. And so it takes a lot of work with the egoic mind to be able to step back and look at it from a more like nuanced perspective. Does that make sense? Did I use the word nuance right?
I don't know, because I don't even know the definition, but when you said nuance, I thought neutral.
Okay, nuance, my understanding of like when something is nuanced is that it's like multifaceted and multidimensional. So like
me looking up what nuance means.
If it makes you feel any better, I did that like a few months ago because people kept using the word nuance and I kept pretending to be like, yeah, that is so nuanced. And then I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know what the
difference
hell that
in or shade of meaning, expression, or sound.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so like when there's a nuanced conversation, it's multifaceted, it's multidimensional, it's layered. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't make one blanket statement about something because it's nuanced. And so that's the word that's coming to mind now. And something else, I'm sorry if you can hear the airplane going by, but something else that like popped into my brain as you were explaining all of that is that I feel like duality comes into play a lot during our healing journey, in terms of if we've had, so for example, if you have struggled your whole life with boundary setting and you tend to people please, and you are finally learning how to set boundaries, I feel like we will often go to the other extreme. So it's either you're not setting boundaries at all, or, you know, you have that duality mindset of it's either no boundaries or all the boundaries. So you go from having absolutely no boundaries to such rigid boundaries, and where you're really putting up walls. That's just an example. But do you know what I mean? Of like the way that duality plays out like that in the healing journey?
Yeah. Do you know the pendulum example? Because that's something I've been living by for a couple years now. And it's exactly that. But it's also the acceptance that like duality still exists. Like even though I play in the world of non-duality and I teach from a space of non-duality, there is a place for like duality at the same time, because we wouldn't be non-dualistic if we didn't also allow duality. Like it's the spectrum. But that a part of our experience in this lifetime is not like everything's going to be this like perfectly centered, balanced thing, and it's going to be here and existing all the time. Like the balance of existence swings. Like that is actually balance, is the movement between all things. And a lot of times what happens, especially on healing journeys, but also you can see this in society, is that we were at one extreme for so long, or I was at one extreme in my journey, and now I'm going to swing to the other extreme. And I just have to like, I'm swinging back and forth. And like, I'm not necessarily swinging back to the extremes I was at before, but like, I'm finding this area now that I've been over here far and I've been over here far. I'm starting to find like, where is actually my center and flowing in and
Yes.
out of that.
Yes, exactly. I found myself going through, you know, that scenario a lot when I first learned about the divine feminine. Because for so long, you know, we exist in this hyper masculine society. And for anyone listening, we're talking about the divine feminine and masculine, which has absolutely nothing to do with gender. It's a set of two energies that exist in a delicate dance within each other. So the masculine is, you know, a more hard, rigid energy. It is like ambition and the mind and analytics and productivity and
Structure, presence.
structure and presence. Yes. And the divine feminine is more, it's a softer energy. It's a little gentler. So you have intuition, expression, emotion, compassion,
Creativity.
sexuality, creativity.
Yeah.
And so these exist in a delicate dance with each other in every single individual, regardless of gender. So don't let the names of them fool you. They are not gendered energies in the slightest bit. But because we have lived in a hyper masculine society for so long, I remember when I first learned about the divine feminine and I was like, wait a minute, I'm allowed to rest. I can play. I don't have to
Oh my
guilt
God.
myself for not being productive. Oh my God, this is amazing. And then I swung to the other extreme where I had no masculine energy. I had no structure. My ambition was struggling. I wasn't like using my analytical mind at all. And I ended up being very, feeling very chaotic and unorganized because I didn't have that presence and structure there because I had like denounced the divine masculine in favor of the feminine because I was like, oh, this seems so much better. But it was just because I was out of balance, not because one is better than the other, because then the divine feminine wasn't serving me because I was too far in that direction. So even things that are dualistic in that sense of, you know, oh, the divine masculine or the divine feminine still have to exist within each other. And I don't always use the word balance because you're never going to have a perfect balance. And I think a lot of people create unrealistic expectations for themselves when it comes to balance. So I refer to it more as like a dance because you're dancing between two things. And I don't know, have you ever seen, because there's a quote that I really love, have you ever seen or read Eat, Pray, Love?
It's been so long, though.
Okay. So then I will briefly refresh your memory. In Eat, Pray, Love, she goes to the main character, I forget her name. It's Julia Roberts in the movie, but she goes on this whole like soul's journey through Italy and India, and she ends up in Bali, and she finally finds this beautiful balance in her life where she has a spiritual practice and some like a structured spiritual practice, and she's finding herself again, and she feels like she is back in balance, and she meets this man and falls in love with this man. And he invites her like for a weekend away, and she's been spending so much time with him, and she freaks out and shuts down and says no because she's worried that because she found such a good balance, it would ruin her balance and it would throw it all off. And she goes to her spiritual teacher there, whose name is, I believe, Katut, I think. And he
Better
says,
than
you
I
know,
would.
she asks for his advice, and he says that sometimes, falling out of balance for love is part of living a balanced life. And I was like, oh, I just got chills because I heard that and it changed my life because I was in a similar place where I had gone through my spiritual awakening. This was when I was watching the movie. I had found this balance and I was so scared to throw it off. Like, I wouldn't let anybody talk to me before 11 a.m. I was making sure, like, I was so rigid because I was so scared of throwing off the balance until I realized that a perfect balance will never exist. And it wasn't serving me to have such a rigid structure anyway.
No, I agree with that. And like, I love that you use dance instead of balance. And for me, I've just redefined what balance means. And like, when I talk about balance, I try to remind people that I'm like, balance is not like balance. Like, it's this perfect, like, immovable object, because the immovable just like sitting there is the masculine, the like flow all over the place of the feminine. Like, balance is truly being able to balance what's going on and the flow of all that is and is being and is becoming. And that involves change, and that involves flow. Like, So for me, balance is being able to flow, being able to move, being able to adjust at all times. It's not, I'm not trying and seeking for this like perfect 50-50 work, rest, play, like my perfect routine. I'm like, if it doesn't feel good to do this morning, I'm not going to do it in that way. I'm going to do something else, because having too much structure feels overwhelming and having too much flow feels like unnerving and like ungrounded. So
yes,
where do I just meet myself in every season of like, maybe this is a season of more flow or less flow, or like really, really perfectly 50-50, like, but every season, every era is different. And I think that's what balance is allowing that flow.
Yes. And I think this is so good for everyone listening, because I feel like so many people, especially people who are on like a personal development healing journey, are so, it's almost like your perfectionism seeps into that journey. And it's like, okay, well, I have to be really good at healing. And then you have this obsession with finding the perfect balance. So to everyone listening, release your perfectionism. There is no such thing as a perfect, consistent balance. There is just, you know, doing your best in every moment and letting, like Ellie said, that pendulum swing where it needs to swing, or if you want to use my words, you know, dancing the delicate dance, and allowing things to flow and meeting yourself where you're at in every moment. So I know that you work a lot with communication, and I wanted to ask you how we can practice non-judgment and curiosity when we're communicating with either our partners, our friends, our family, our coworkers, you know, anybody. How can we invite in curiosity and non-judgment to those conversations?
My answer is the annoying answer, but it's like the truth of everything that we ever do, is that if we can't do that with ourselves, we're not going to be able to do it with anybody else. Like, I want to so deeply just be like, this is how you say something, or like rethink and be able to communicate with people in a non-judgmental way. But if you are not curious and non-judgmental with yourself, it's not going to happen, because that's where that reflects back. Like, I notice myself judging other people when I'm judging myself, and I feel comfortable with showing up fully as myself. So the deeper I can get with, I'm not judging my own experience, I accept my own experience, and deeply knowing, what is my own experience? What are the things that I like? What are the things that I own? What are my boundaries? What am I okay with? What I'm not okay with it? My negotiables and my non-negotiables in life, in career, in friendships, in romantic relationships. And how can I get curious with myself? Like, that has been the last few years of my journey, is when I'm feeling charged about something, when I'm feeling off about something, asking me, why am I that way? Why do I believe that? I remember asking myself, like, why do I believe X, Y, and Z about families and relationships? And like, I wasn't sure if I wanted kids for so long. And I remember asking myself, why do I envision my life with like me, a man, and like kids, even though it doesn't feel like something I want? And I sat with it and I just like saw before me all the Disney movies and the conditioning. But that, digging into that and getting uncomfortable and getting curious with my own life, I am so able to sit peacefully and non-judgmentally and like with curiosity and presence with other people's lives, whether they like are completely different from me and it feels like triggering and uncomfortable. I had an experience in a conversation with somebody close to me in my life recently, and they were like charged up, fired up, like kind of frustrated and mad at me with some situations, and just like really expressively sharing. And I, for the first time, was sitting there and I'm like, wow, like, I've been noticing this getting easier and easier for me to just like sit and listen and not feel like I'm taking it personally. But this is like, truly, I feel so grounded in this moment. Like, I'm recognizing them. I'm not labeling them as like, sometimes we're sitting in our groundedness and not judge somebody because we're labeling them as like, they're crazy and wrong right now, and I'm chill. It wasn't like, they're crazy and wrong in this moment. It was, wow, they're having like a really triggering experience. How can I sit and watch and observe and hold space? And I've only been able to do that because I'm like, I do it with myself all the time. That's my constant practice, like getting uncomfortable with the emotions that come up, with the feelings that come up. So base level is that, and then practicing that with the people in your life. And you know, we do have the tactics, we do have the techniques of like, hey, how can I phrase this? How can I make this an I statement? But all the I statements in the world aren't going to come across as non-judgmental and curious if you're like constantly judging yourself, because you can still have a judgmental I statement.
Yeah, everything's a mirror. Everyone's a mirror.
Yes. I know when I first started learning about that and hearing that, I was like, what does that even mean, a mirror?
I know, me too. Like, I was like, yeah, I get it. But then in private, I'd be like, what the actual fuck is that person talking about?
But I'm like, so you're telling me that if she annoys me, that I annoy myself? And I was like, that doesn't exist. I'm like, no, they're just annoying. And then I'm like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah. I feel like for so long, I didn't really understand what it meant. But then the way that I word it that helps me, at least, is that everyone sees and does things through a filter of their own belief system. So because when people would say, oh, if you feel, you know, this certain way about another person, it's because you feel that way about yourself. And I would be like, that doesn't make sense, because I don't have that opinion about myself. But I was on some level holding on to a belief. I know that was vague because I didn't use an example, but
I get what you mean. Yeah.
But same thing, like what you were saying, like, oh, if I thought that person was annoying because they were doing, okay, perfect example, internalized misogyny. So if you're looking at another woman and saying like, oh my God, she is so annoying because she dates like so many people and that is so annoying, and blah, 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 blah. It's because at some point during your life, you internalized that that was wrong, and it is a belief that you have, and it has absolutely nothing to do with her, and it's all about you anyway. So that's where the mirror is, because when you look at yourself, it's, oh, my beliefs are being reflected in how I'm perceiving this person. And I feel like that's like the epitome of internalized misogyny, internalized homophobia, like all of it.
I would never allow myself to do that. Like, therefore, like, it's that person's doing it. That's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you have to ask yourself, okay, but why would I never allow myself to do that? Like, what beliefs do I have that make me think that that's wrong? Everything's a projection.
Yeah. Because when we really come back to the place of like, non-judgmental, like, I wouldn't allow myself to do that because it's not for me, then when somebody else does it, it's like, okay, great, go you, because like, I'm okay with me and my choices that I'm making, and I'm okay with you and your choices that you're making. Like, this is not a personal thing. I don't feel personally attacked because I am making the choices that I want to make because I know myself.
Yes. Oh my God, exactly. And that plays into so many different aspects of the healing journey, like getting to know yourself and self-love and communication and your authenticity and your purpose and your fear stories. Like, all of it has to do with what beliefs have I taken on and how am I holding space for myself and seeing myself? And then what kind of shadow work am I doing? You know, am I avoiding the parts of myself that are scary? Am I avoiding looking at things that are challenging or that I deem too hard or that I'm super judgy towards myself about? I think just that one piece that you brought up, that, you know, everything is a mirror, or other people are a mirror. And if you're not doing things for yourself, you won't be able to do them for others. Like, that bleeds into every area of your life.
Yeah. Literally.
It's crazy.
Like, yeah. The mirror thing, like, I remember when someone in my life on Instagram, she was talking about like the disco ball effect. Like, she called it the disco ball instead of the mirror, which because it's all these little fragmentations, but truly, like, it is how uncomfortable can I get? I like saying uncomfy, actually. I remember I said that a couple of years ago. My friend was like, uncomfy, like, I love that because it makes the like uncomfortableness more like relaxed and cool. But the more uncomfortable we can get and sit with the feelings and the emotions that we don't like, that feel like bad emotions or wrong emotions or like icky, hate, anger, whatever it is, the more we can sit with the ick in other people.
Yes. Yeah, you really got to get comfy getting uncomfy when you're when you're
like, cozy up, you're gonna feel uncomfortable.
Grab a blanket and a cup of tea. It's gonna get weird. Yeah, get comfy, get uncomfy, because that's where the change happens. And I remember when I first had like my spiritual awakening and started my whole like quote unquote healing journey, which by the way, to everyone listening, the healing journey is never over. There's like never a point where you're like done. Like it's your whole life is the
I'm
healing
not like,
journey.
I'm done. I'm evolved. I've ascended. I get to
Yeah.
die now, right? I choose my own death.
Exactly. It's you never stop healing and growing and learning. So when I say the healing journey, it's like life. Even when you don't know you're doing it, like it's part of the healing journey. But what I'm talking about is like when I began my conscious healing journey, where I was aware that I was doing it and I was being really intentional about the inner work that I was doing. I remember saying to myself a bunch of times, like, okay, Sarah, like you gotta get comfortable getting uncomfortable, bitch, because this is gonna be a wild ride
Buckle
and
up.
buckle the fuck up. And now, years later, anytime an uncomfortable situation comes up, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, I'm about to learn. This sucks ass, but I'm gonna learn so much from this. Like, I wonder what I'm gonna learn from this. This is gonna be cool on the other end of things. Sucks right now, but damn.
Did you ever go through the middle of that when you're just like, oh my God, just give me the lesson already?
Yes.
Like when you know it's awful and you're just like, okay, but like can we get there? Like, and instead of like sitting in it and getting uncomfortable with it, you're just like, okay, what am I learning? Just like trying to find what you're learning instead of actually sitting in it and learning it,
Yeah.
because
Yeah,
you're
you're
just
like
like, okay, I can be
journaling
over
until
it.
your hand falls off, trying to get to the root of whatever the lesson is so that you can be done learning the lesson.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, it's over now, right? I learned it. I learned it. And they're like, no, you actually need to learn to let go.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like you need to learn to not try to escape uncomfortable situations like this so quickly and just sit with it. It's just like, ugh, I really wanted that to not be the lesson, but it is.
My favorite story of that, like recently, I was visiting my family and I just had this overwhelming sense that I just needed to cry. And my one of my like practices in the last year has been just like allowing emotions to come up whenever they want to and not suppressing them. I mean, if I'm in public, I might not just like have a breakdown in public. I'll go to my car. But
That's when you put it in your pocket, save it for later, and then you express when you get home.
But you actually come back to it.
Yeah.
But I was with my family and I was visiting and we were having like a girls' day with my aunts, and we get back to the house and I'm just like, I really want to cry. I like really, really, really want to cry right now. And I tell them, I was like, I just want to cry right now. And they're like, oh my gosh, are you okay? What do you need? Like, do you want to go smoke some weed? Or like, they're trying to like pacify it. They're like, do you want some ice
Yeah.
cream? And I'm like, no, I want to cry. Like,
Yeah.
what if instead of like, oh, I want to cry right now, I feel sad, like, let me pacify it. Let me like get a hug. Let me just like curl up or whatever, or like do something else. What if instead we just let it out? Because that's where like the getting uncomfortable actually pays off, is because, oh, I'm letting this emotion come up and come out, and I actually get to experience it, allow it to move through, and then see where the root is coming up. And that's when we learn the lesson, instead of being like, okay, tell me already, or just like make it go away.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. The way that we have learned to like, because there are times where, yeah, maybe we need to self-soothe a little bit in ways that make us feel good. Like if you want something to make you feel better, but not if that means you suppressing your feelings. Like if you want to sob while eating ice cream, sure, but still
Go
feel
for
your
it.
feelings. Like don't suppress them and push them down because that's just shadow work you're going to have to do later because it will find a way out. It's just going to get louder and louder and louder.
This is my like pacifying. I know if I'm scrolling, I am numbing. And then I'm like, what am I numbing?
Yeah, oh my gosh. I've noticed that I will do that and I have broken that habit. But if I, especially with anxiety, if I'm sad, I can cry. If I'm angry, I can punch a pillow and scream into a pillow and throw a little controlled tantrum. If I'm anxious, I'm like, where is the first distraction? Where is I need something to pull me out of this feeling.
Feels overwhelming. I remember I
Yeah.
had a therapist who I told her about like my anxiety and everything and my numbing, and she's like, what's gonna happen if you just get anxious? And I was like, what if I have a panic attack? And she's like, okay, what if you do? And I was like, I don't want to have a panic attack. She's like, but what if
Yeah.
you do? And I'm like, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
Like, the last time I had a panic attack, I thought I was gonna die, but I clearly did not die. So, like,
Yeah. That's
You're
the
not
thing is we're
wrong.
trying. Yeah. We're trying to avoid like an uncomfortable situation. What I've noticed with like the anxiety that I experience, and the reason I say it that way is because I saw a hypnotist one time and I used the phrase my anxiety. And he said, "Do you want to have anxiety?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Then stop calling it yours." And I said, "That makes a lot of sense." So
I
now I
love
say,
that.
the anxiety I experience.
Yeah.
But what I notice is like, I would try really hard to be like avoid the discomfort of a panic attack by distracting myself. And since I've kind of stopped doing that, I'm able to self-soothe and bring myself down from that state of anxiety and panic so much easier because I'm not going on my phone and stimulating my brain, so my mind is quieter. And I mean, it comes with also learning tools that help you. Like I've had a number of therapists. I've done a lot of like mindfulness work and stuff like that. So I know for me, I used to have panic attacks that would last up to 7 hours. Like they were so miserable. Breath work has saved me. I can stop a panic attack in its tracks. And I have never been able to say that. And if you've ever had a panic attack, anyone listening, like you know how miserable they are. You genuinely think you're gonna die. You genuinely think that it's the end, that you are dying. Breath work has saved my ass. Like it has helped me so much. And what I noticed is that when I do that and I soothe my body and I activate my parasympathetic nervous system and calm my nervous system and regulate my nervous system and make myself feel safe, the relief and that feeling of safety lasts so much longer than if I were to just be like, okay, let me go and do this and distract myself. And that's for me as an individual. I know for some people, like distraction can be really helpful if they're really in an anxious state. Like there are sometimes little things if you just need to redirect your attention. So I'm not saying this as like an objective truth for everyone. This is my personal experience. But I would notice that if I would go on my phone and things like that, that the anxiety would just find another way out later because I just kind of put a lid on it for a second, but then the lid fell off because
It eventually will like push itself through the whatever phone game or scrolling I'm doing. It's just like, hey, I'm like, oh, that's what I was avoiding.
Yeah, that was my experience. And this is also, I want to be clear, not medical advice or like
No,
anything like that. These are our experiences and what we have
yeah. And if it
noticed and been
resonates with
through.
you, great, but like, make your own choices.
Yes, absolutely. And if you experience extreme anxiety or panic attacks, I recommend definitely going to speak to a licensed therapist about it because it is really important to have someone to guide you through that and to have someone to talk to if you're experiencing anxiety to that level or at
Agreed.
all or at all.
Yeah. There's also like, you can just get a therapist. Therapists are great.
Yeah, you don't have to have something,
I
you don't
had my
have to be
first
on the
one for
brink of a
7 years.
panic attack. Yeah, you don't have to be on the brink of a panic attack all the time in order to get a therapist. Just get a therapist. Everyone should have someone to talk to. Okay. I wanted to bring up boundary setting because I know that my audience really struggles a lot with boundary setting. And so I wanted to ask what your biggest advice is for people who have trouble setting boundaries.
Y'all are gonna hate me. Same answer as the last, though. Like, if you have trouble setting boundaries, what first of all, I mean, I will share more than this, but like, baseline is like, where are you not holding your own boundaries? Where are you like, oh, like, I'm gonna go to bed early tonight, like 10 o'clock, I'm gonna get ready for bed at like 9, be in bed 9:30, all cozied up, going to bed. And then like, you know, whatever, somebody hits you up, you watch a TV show and you just keep watching it, like whatever that is, and you let it go and you're just like, oh, I'll just, it's fine. Like, and then you're in bed by like midnight, but you feel bad about it and it's not something you actually wanted to do. Like, even that little boundary, if you can't hold that with yourself, you're gonna have such a hard time holding boundaries with other people. So first of all, get uncomfy with yourself, and literally start practicing holding your own boundaries of like, what are your, and this is something I will reference for everything, whether it's relationships, boundaries, like all the things, non-negotiables and negotiables. And my therapist taught me this when I was 16 and I was having boy trouble. And I love you, Kim. And it's something
we
now
love
I use.
Kim.
Yes, Dr. Kim Curley. She had me make a list of what are my negotiables and my non-negotiables for a relationship. Like, what is something I'm okay dealing with and something I'm like absolutely not okay? She's like, what if they smoke? And I was like, ew, no. I was like, that's a non-negotiable. And she was like, okay, what if, and I was very religious at the time. She's like, what if they don't want to go to church? And I was like, okay. And like, I got really clear on that. So like, literally negotiables and non-negotiables for your entire life, like personally. And this is should not be like overly strict. Like we were talking about flow before, like my non-negotiables for me is just like having a morning routine, some kind of like slow, easy morning to ease into, but it's not, I have to do X, Y, and Z, check off ABC every single morning. It's just space for me, what feels good right now. Like that's part of my non-negotiable is like, how can I deepen and listen to my intuition more and more every day? So clearing those with yourself, what are your boundaries with yourself? What are the things that you're not going to say yes to, or the things that you're always going to say no to, like all the stuff. And then from there, once you get familiar with that, then you get to practice with the people that you love in your life. And I always say like, go to the people closest to you and tell them, hey, I'm practicing boundaries. This is like all the things that I teach are kind of like blanket across like the board. Because I remember when I was dealing with anxiety, dealing with, you know, a lot of mental health things, it got easier when I told people about it. It got easier when I, and like, not everyone, like discernment, don't tell Uncle Joe who like doesn't believe in anxiety and depression.
Yeah, not everyone deserves access to your energy.
Exactly. And
choose
like,
the people you share personal things with carefully.
Yes. Yes. And that's going to be an experimentation. Like you might tell somebody that you realize you can't trust, and that's okay. It's not the end of the world, but you learn that. Don't go back to that person.
Yeah. This is also not to say that you should be just like generally guarded.
Yes.
Either. Like still be an open person. Just like, don't go around telling everyone your deepest, darkest secrets if like maybe they're not someone who's going to bring the energy that you need.
Mm-hmm. And touch it and see how that feels. Cause sometimes I'll share some things with people and then like their response, I'll like see how that sits in my body and how I feel energetically. I'm like, did that feel draining to me? Or did that feel like supportive? Or did that feel neutral? And recognizing that, I can go, okay, this is person like I feel more comfortable sharing things with. This isn't, but like little side tangent, like my little tip.
Sorry,
there.
I totally interrupted you.
No. It was, I mean, there's so many, like we could go in like every direction here because there's so much depth and layers to this. But within boundaries, like starting with somebody close to you and like my best friend who I used to live with, like, hey, I'm practicing setting this boundary right now. So it's really uncomfortable for me. But, you know, you'll probably notice me practicing this and maybe it is a, no, I'm not going out tonight. And that's really hard for me to say because I have a story in my head that saying no to somebody is going to make them feel rejected. That's something I've actually been practicing the last couple of years, and saying no to people is when I don't have a reason to say no. If my calendar's open, but I don't want to go, and letting that person know, thank you so much for inviting me. I won't be making it out that night, but I really appreciate, please still keep inviting me if that's something you want to continue going to, and letting my friends know that I love them and I want to be invited. And that, you know, if I feel it, this is, and there's so much nuance in here.
Look at you using our new word.
I use nuance, but I'm just like, I don't know what it means. I just like go with the vibe of it. But there's a lot of nuance in here. So like there is space to share more. And one of my quarrels with the boundaries bubble online is that like I don't owe you anything. Like I get to do what I do and I don't owe you anything. And I'm like, ooh, we are creating division and we're lacking connection when I say like I don't owe you anything, I don't have to tell you anything, like this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm going to do. I'm like, okay, great, like do whatever you want to do, but if this is somebody you love and you cherish this relationship with, you're actually going to create more intimacy and closeness and like boundaries, relational relationship understanding, like all the things, if you share more not in like oversharing. I'm sharing because I need you to understand, and I'm like desperate for you to make this okay for me, but sharing because I want to connect with you. So me saying to my friends that I get uncomfortable with like saying no to, I will tell them sometimes, hey, I can't be there tonight. It just doesn't feel right for me right now. Like I'm not feeling it, but I want you to know that I love you and I still want to go to all these things. And this is a difficult thing for me to say no to because I don't want you to feel like you're rejected or that I don't want to be there. And getting like vulnerable with that. And I have some of like my best friends are like, oh my gosh, thank you for letting me know that. And now one of my closest friends who I've been practicing that with the most comes back to me and he's like, I'm learning so much from you saying no. He's like, I'm able to say no now because you said no and you tell me why, that it's like, it's not because you don't want to be there. It's because you have to say yes to yourself in some other capacity right now, whether that is a specific reason, like you're doing something else, or if it's just a no for your energy. Like he's like, that's helping me respect my energy. And I'm like, well, shit, like if we could just share all the things, the whole world's going to go around better and we respect people a lot more.
I could not agree more with that. That the same thing has rubbed me the wrong way for a long time, because when we say, you know, no is a full sentence, which by the way is true.
Yes.
And you don't owe anybody an explanation, which is also true. There is a spectrum on which that exists. It's non-dualistic. It is multi-dimensional and multifaceted, because I feel like it's completely situational. You know, if there is a toxic person in your life where you need to set a firm boundary, you do not owe that person an explanation. Say no, set the boundary, be firm, and you don't have to explain yourself or seek any kind of validation. You don't have to seek validation in any situation. And then, like you said, if it's someone close to you who you love and who you desire to deepen your connection and you want that person to understand you as well as you understand them, sharing with them, hey, you know, I'm setting this boundary. This is why I'm doing that. And I love you. You know, it actually, that's not, as long as it's not coming from a place of you needing their approval or validation. And it's coming from a place of you having the intention of like deepening your connection with that person. I think that that's an awesome thing. Cause I remember when I first started setting boundaries and I first started, you know, deconstructing my people pleasing complex, I swung too hard in the other direction. The pendulum swung too far. Yeah. I started setting boundaries, which I thought were boundaries, but honestly really were just very rigid walls, because there's a difference. And I remember it created some conflict, and there were even times where my girlfriend was like, hey, like, is everything okay? Like, are we good? Like, you're acting weird. You're acting different. Like, you seem, because it can come off very cold too. And this is also like for anyone listening who struggles setting boundaries, I'm not telling you that setting a boundary is cold and like a heartless thing to do.
Like swing the other direction and like set the boundaries if that's what you need to do in order to get there first. Like don't be afraid of being cold, because it's also a trial and error process.
Yeah.
And I love that we're talking about like things swing between. A lot of times when we are going from one place to another, we swing in the opposite direction. Like you can be aware of the extremes. But also if that's what you need to like step into for right now, if that's like the only, like if you're struggling to just say the boundary because you're so worried about like, but I don't want to come off cold. And so then you don't set the boundary at all. Just say the boundary and then reflect afterwards. You can always reflect more. And a lot of times when I'm either working with somebody or have somebody close in my life who wants to share something with me and they're like, I don't know how to say this. And then they'll just sit there and like try to figure out the right way. I'm like, hey, how about you say it as it's coming out? And if it's not exactly what you mean, you let me know and we'll like figure out what lingo, like what language actually is more representational of that. And I'll ask you questions, because I'm not here to like judge face value, like the exact words you're saying, like I'm writing them out on a sheet of paper and assessing them. I want to understand, what do you mean? And let's grow closer and have this communication more than anything.
Yeah. The motto that I always use is firm and kind. Like, they do not have to be mutually exclusive. You don't have to be so like in the fawn responsive. I think that I need to stay home tonight. If that is okay, I'm so, so, so sorry. And I'll make it up to you. And I'm going to throw you a pizza party because I feel so bad that I said no to hanging out. Like, I used to be that way too. Like, that is one extreme. And then the other extreme is like, no, fuck you, you know, like, which
I
it
can't
doesn't
believe you even asked me.
Can't believe you even asked. Like, no, I will be staying home, giving like a very robotic corporate America email type answer to like, like your cousin who you're best friends with or something. But mixing the two is firm but kind, you know. Hey, I'm not going to come out tonight. Thank you for inviting me. Love you. You know, it doesn't have to be totally robotic and cold, and it doesn't have to be so frilly and full of your fear of someone else's judgment of you that you end up apologizing before the other person even responds. Have you ever done that? I used to do this when like I would try to set a boundary, and then before the person even saw my message, I would like send them 10 more messages apologizing for my boundary. I'd be like,
I've definitely
actually,
done that.
I definitely
every once in a while, like I'm like, I will like have, I feel the tendency of doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you just make me think of like 2 seconds ago? With the boundary setting and the soft and the firm and like all the things. Oh, the like saying the thing. And then one thing that I've loved lately, and I've been doing this and my friends have been doing this, which I really appreciate, especially as women, like, I think there's just this like added sprinkle of anxiety that like, especially with new friendships and women,
yeah,
that they don't actually want to be your friend. And so I'm holding women's circle tonight, and I've invited a bunch of women, and a couple of them have said no, but they're like, please keep inviting me. Like, I want to come to these. And I'm like, oh, that makes me feel so good. Like, to the friends who invite me a lot to things and I say no, I say, hey, it's not that I don't want to hang out with you or go to this event. Right now it's a no. Please continue to invite me because I do want to go, and eventually I will when it's aligned, but I want you to know that like, this is not a no to you or the event. Because I genuinely want that. And not that like you owe that to anybody again, but we're all just like nervous, anxious people. Sometimes we all doubt ourselves. We all doubt like if people actually want to be around us, and like having that out there, if that is true for you and you actually do want to be invited, say it.
Yeah, definitely. This is a lot of what we're talking about is such a common experience for women, especially like the fear of boundary setting or sounding mean. Oh my God. My biggest fear was always that someone would think I was a bad person, or that someone would think poorly of me, or think that I was mean or selfish,
so
just because I was either saying no to something or standing up for myself. That was a big one. I was so scared to stand up for myself or like be myself.
I don't want to be fear. A bitch.
Yes. Well, yeah, because we grow up in this society that teaches
it's
us, you know, like we see it on TV shows, we see it, and you know, it's a projection of the collective consciousness of how we perceive women as a collective, you know, that gets projected into our media and into conversations and our education and everything. But it's like, oh, women who are firm are bitches, men who are firm are leaders. But women who are firm are bitches. They're mean. They're selfish.
And I have to be soft and flowery if, like, I'm going to be a good feminine leader. And, like, I love being the, like, lovey person who's like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. I love this. I can't make it, but I appreciate you. And there are times where I'm going to be like, no, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I love being soft and flowery, but I also love standing up for myself and, like, voicing my opinion. Don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can be both. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. There are so many things, like the amount of times we've brought it back to like misogyny or like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of this comes from conditioning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I certainly like, I know men who are people pleasers. Absolutely.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The majority of the people who come to me being like, please help me, are women. Or non-binary, or you know, like it's rare that I have like cis men being like, I have such a people-pleasing complex. Although like I do have men in my DMs asking for help, which I think is beautiful too. But it is like majority not cis men, because the rest of us have really learned tread lightly with your opinions, tread lightly with your boundaries, tread lightly, be kind, be flowery, smile, you know, and if
a
we don't do that. A woman
who is seen and not heard.
Yeah, like, you know, if we don't do that, it's I'm doing something wrong. I'm selfish. I'm this, I'm that. And it's a lot of internalized stuff. There's a lot of shadow work to be done. And this is why, like, when people are like, oh, can I do a session with you on, like, you know, how to blank, blank, blank? I'm like, you can do a one-off session with me, but I am just going to let you know we are not going to get very far, because this is work that takes time. Like, you will leave with helpful things, but if you really want to deconstruct things, why do you think my one-on-one program is 6 months long? I've had people who do 3 month programs. I used to do 3 month programs, and they would at the end of 3 months be like, all right, I need to extend for another 3 months, because you cannot deconstruct an entire lifetime of people pleasing and poor boundary setting and fear of judgment and not trusting your intuition and seeking validation in 6 bi-weekly sessions.
And
you just
if
can't.
You do, oh my God, the like impact on the body that would have.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Like it that takes would a just long be... time to unpack these things.
Yeah. There's so many layers there, especially if like you've never even started doing the work. And that was why I said, like, both of my answers to the questions were like, go back to yourself. Yeah. Where are your personal boundaries? Where are you judgmental with yourself? Where are you not curious with yourself? Because you got to start with your own ick.
It all, as usual, comes back to self-love.
It does.
As per usual. This has been the best conversation. I love all the little tangents that we went on, and thank you so much for coming on this podcast. I love you, and I love the work that you do, and I love seeing your business blossom, and I appreciate you for being here and having this conversation with me.
Thank you for having me. You're like one of my favorite people to chat with on this, and I'm like so excited because I know we're gonna chat on more things, like whether on your podcast or mine. I'm like, it's happening.
Yes, the feeling is mutual. I love having these conversations with people who I feel like I'm on the same wavelength, and you're certainly one of them. So thank you again for being here. And do you want to just, where can people find you if they want to follow you, check out your offerings?
Yeah, the best place is hands down going to be Instagram. It's my first and last name, Lelie, only one L, dot Rogers, Rogers. You can see all my content on communication and relationships. You can message me if you're interested in connecting, having a session, working together. Love, love, love it. Lately I've been doing a lot more speaking at events in Arizona. If you're in Arizona, come on out, let's hang. There's a lot of things going on out here, but I also will, I do one-on-one sessions. So happy to connect with you on there, or just scroll through all the yummy reels.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Go follow Ellie on Instagram, reach out to her. If you're looking for help with relationships, communications, any of the things we talked about today, shoot her a message. She is an incredible coach and mentor. So thank you again, Ellie. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Mwah.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode today. If you really enjoyed this episode, don't forget to let me know by leaving a review. And if you want to connect with me outside of the podcast world, you can find me on Instagram at Sarah Lockwood, or you can check out my website, sarahlockwoodcoaching.com. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.